יהיו לרצון אמרי פיו, הגיון לי בלפניך, אדוני, צורי וגואלי. May the words of my mouth and thoughts of my heart be acceptable before you, O God, my rock and my redeemer. Shalom all and welcome. Erev tov, buenas noches, bienvenidos everybody to our kosher Torah school classes and the teachings of the Kabbalah of Rabbi Yosef Haim of Baghdad, the famous Ben Ish Hai. And this is book Dat Utfuna. And I am, of course, your host, Ariel Bar Tzedok. You find me in the Kosher Torah School online at the www.koshertorah.com. Now, we're in the fifth class of this season, of this series. We're right in the middle of things, and as I've introduced in the previous classes, I do not necessarily wish to have to take two steps back by explaining, introducing, and reviewing material. So, we're just going to jump right in to our material. Again, we're in the 19th chapter. And now we're going to discuss Mahut Ha'adam Uma Inyano. What is the essence of man? What it's all about. Now, this is going to take us into a concept called Datz Ham. Now, you have to remember something. The Lurianic Kabbalah shares something with modern-day military, and that is there is a love for acronyms, meaning they love to take all types of long-worded concepts and refer to them by the initial letters of the different words. So Datz Ham is not a Hebrew word. It's not a magical, formula. It is an abbreviation for four words, which are spelled Dalet, Tzadi, Hey, Het actually, and Mem. Dalet stands for the Hebrew word Domem, which means the inanimate. The Tzadi stands for Tzomach, which means vegetative. Het stands for chai or animal, and M or mem stands for midaber, speaking. What Datz Ham and these four levels of what we're going to refer to as soul, this is a foundation of the teachings of the Kabbalah. You will find it in the Lurianic system, you will find it in the earlier Zoharic system, you'll find it pretty much in all of the Kabbalistic systems. But I want to make something very, very clear, that Judaism is not the source of the concept of the souls of Datz Ham. As we've made clear in this series and in other places, Rabbi Chaim Vital, our author, the Ben Ish Hai, who is quoting Rabbi Chaim Vital, is taking this material, as every other rabbi and sage before him has, from the sources in Greek science. Now, let's give credit where credit is due. The Greeks were the pioneers of a tremendous amount of what we today call philosophy, a tremendous amount of which was embraced by and has become part of, absorbed into, the Torah path. If you ever want to understand the way and nature of the Talmudic discussion and dialectics, you have to understand Greek concepts of rhetoric and logic. It's just the way it is. If you want to understand anything about the older schools, whether it's the prophetic school, even the Essenes, were called Stoics, right? Meaning that they were recluse. Where did this recluse concept come from? Well, go back and look into the recluse applications or traditions as observed in the Greek traditions. Now, of course, we go back and look at the origins of many of the ideas and beliefs that came out of the Greek schools, whether it was from Pythagoras or Socrates, Plato, Aristotle. These pillars of Greek knowledge, clearly and definitively, historically documented, had access to and interactions with peoples of other cultures, civilizations, whether it was the ancient Egyptians and even recorded the ancient Hebrews. And there are legends, and I emphasize the word legend, meaning not really to be taken literally as truth, that Plato studied with Jeremiah, Aristotle studied with a rabbi, and he converted to Judaism. We have all these stories, but these are stories, all right? They're embellishments, they're even polemic in a way, but they're not necessarily history. But there are sources in Greek records that have survived to this day that clearly show that Pythagoras studied with who are called the children of Moses. So there was this overlap and interaction. And I might add that it didn't stop with those in the Eastern Mediterranean, meaning Greece in the north, Israel in the east, Egypt in the south. Oh, no, no, no. Remember, the ancient knowledge of the Chaldee, the Babylonians, the ancient knowledge of the Veda from India, all of these ancient cultures overlapped, interacted with one another. The trade routes for business were clearly open, good gosh, from the days of Abraham. I mean, this is history. And the people who were searchers of knowledge always, always sought out one another and learned and were not afraid because of ethnicity to embrace that of another. Truth is truth. That is one of the wise parameters outlined for us in the sayings of our fathers, Pirkei Avot, where Rebbe himself said, who is wise? The one who learns from everyone. So therefore, we have incorporated into the authentic traditions of Kabbalah ideas and concepts, which anybody knows anything about philosophy will find in Grecian sources. What does that tell you? It tells you what our sages have always said. You acknowledge truth wherever it is to be found, period. And only a blind man or a prejudiced one refuses to look in places and denies legitimacy of truth where it is to be found. Shame on them. Okay, now with that, what I consider to be important, remember, the reason why I'm even emphasizing this is the exact same sentiments that was discussed by Rabbeinu Bachya in the introduction to the duties of the heart, the Chovot HaLevavot. And again, the reason why this needs to be emphasized so much is because this goes against the grain of the politically correct way of today, where in which you have such racism and a prejudice, especially amongst the Haredi community, who want to say, if something's not Jewish, then it's not good. And I see and hear that all too much, and it is just so insulting against intelligence and truth that it really needs this response. Now let's discuss the essence of man. Are we here discussing Torah? Are we here discussing philosophy? Are we here discussing science? We are here discussing all of the above. And that is the way we must understand. Now, we might have other terminologies and other ways to describe what we're about to learn today, and I'll try to introduce that as I comment on the material. But let's understand that for thousands of years prior to the dawn of modern science and technology, which is, 150 years old, give or take? This is the way people looked at things around the world, cross-culturally, everywhere. Just as another little quick digression. For those who have ever studied Maimonides, our famous rationalist, and read any of his medical writings, which were, again, at the top of all knowledge in his day. They were all based upon ancient Greek understandings of medicine. And they were built upon these exact same concepts of Dats Acham as the Greeks. But that shouldn't be a surprise. But for those today who learn anything about what's called Oriental medicine, that which comes out of China, or even the Ayurvedic traditions of India, what we call today energy medicine, they also speak in the same concepts. How many of us have ever been exposed to Oriental medicines, and they will refer to either foods and medicines as being hot or cold or wet or dry? Well, these concepts were rather universal. They were known in the Orient and are still embraced and understood in the Orient, as they were known and understood in the West and in those days. Today, the West has changed. Today, the East has grown. What's the difference between growing and changing? Changing means they got rid of the old school and adopted a new school. Growing means that they adopted the new school along with the old school. That's why I'm very much a fan of Eastern medicine. It's a much more holistic way of looking at things. But now, let's move on. What is the essence of man? Ma'in yeno. Natchil havayato me'olam ha'asiyah me'matu l'mala. Let's discuss it from the realm of asiyah, from below to above. Because remember, when we are talking about the essence of our humanity, we have to describe things within a dual context. We have to speak, if you allow me to use the term, spiritually. And then we have to use the term physically. Now, physically, we all know, right? We are all, whether you like it or not, Homo sapien animals of physical form. That we are. That is what we all are in the physical body. And yet there is that inner essence within us called the soul. We've discussed some of that in our previous lesson. But we are now going to discuss from the bottom up and talk about the relationship of all the things. The kvar nitba'er, we've already explained. Ki kol olam va'olam, v'kol ha'toledot shel oto olam ma'inyinam. We've already outlined and enumerated each and every world, and all of the toldot, we'll call them the subdivisions of each and every world and what they're all about. Remember, we said that we had the four basic levels, which are really five. We spoke about the patterns of the sefirot, the worlds, etc. That's what he's referring to. Nihine, behold, olam ha'asiya, this physical world of ours, Techila yesh bo chelak ha'tachton ha'nisgar malchut sheba. When we speak about the world of Asiya, all right, we're going to speak from the bottom up, then we're going to start with its lowest level, the malchut of Asiya. Now remember, every world, we have four worlds. Each world is subdivided into 10 sefirot. So the lowest part of the lowest world would be the malchut, in the lowest world, Asiya. So the malchut of Asiya. This level, Malchut of Asiya, is called the Arba Yesodot Olam HaShefel. The Malchut of Asiya is called the four elements, or foundations, if you will, of the physical world. What are the four elements? Remember, we say there are actually five elements. In what we call the physical, there are four forms of matter. If we're going to refer to matter, then let's refer to them. Now, somebody in text has already jumped the gun and mentioned the old Greek words to describe them: fire, air, earth, water. All right? Now, what is fire? What is air? What is earth? What is water? Let's look at it very simple. This is all science. Four forms of matter. Plasma, gas, liquid, solid. Those are the four forms of matter. One is considered higher, in quote, than the other. Now, they're referred to in traditional literature as purer, all right, more pure. We understand the elements of matter actually within the context of the vibration of its molecular structure. Now we say that somebody in text is saying they're all forms of energy. Now you're getting into Einstein. Remember E equals mc squared? Remember, you get to the point of what we call the speed of light. And at the speed of light, mass ceases to exist and becomes pure energy. And that takes us into a completely different context of a dimensional plane where in which the laws of physics are different. We all know in this realm there are what we call atomic and subatomic particles. There is a lot of talk in science, and certainly a lot of enumeration in science fiction, of hyperlight particles. Hyperlight particles are referred to as tachyons. Some believe that tachyons really exist. And you got a lot of hype and a lot of baloney about them too. And what exists on the other side of the speed of light? Well, modern science doesn't necessarily discuss that so openly on the internet, where people like you and I can have access to it. But pray God that day will come too. But now let's stick to the Malchut of Asiyah within our four realms and forces of energy. Somebody also is mentioning here dark energy. Let's not forget dark matter. But we are only referring to the Malchut of Asiyah. Maybe the realm of dark energy or dark matter is the Zot level or the Yetzirah level of Asiyah. Who knows? Let's move on. Hine. Kol Toledotav. When we speak of the realm of mass, the realm of matter, the realm of these four elements of the Malchut of Asiyah, everything called its Toldotav, anything that's going to come forth from it, Nivru Baguf Shebo, everything comes forth in this world from one of those forms of elements. Vahu Besod Ha'afar Hagashma'i. And he calls this the secret of the physical, and the word here is afar, which is usually translated as dust or dirt, but it's not speaking in a literal sense. Remember, that's a metaphorical, a poetic description, again, of what we would call matter. Physical matter. Physical matter takes on its different forms. V'na halakim, La'arba halakim, and we said it's subdivided into the four forms. Hatachton shebehem, the lowest, of course, of which? Physical things. And he says here, avanim, right? Things like avanim tovot, things like gemstones, metechot, metals. These are the physical forms. That's the domem level, inanimate objects. But listen to this. Ve'ein behem rak soda afar. They have within them only that level of what we call afar, or physicality, or if you will, the solid form. Shekibel koach me'arba'a yesodot kulam, but it received, if you will, its, in quote, power meaning its structure, purpose, definition, meaning, from all the four elements and foundations, kulam, mina guf shebehem, all right, that's combined together within its form, its structure, its body. Venit aravu yahad, and they're all mixed together. And they make then the matechetahu, that specific metal. This is the way it was described then. Today, we would say that there are different atomic structures. Remember the old, table of elements from chemistry? You have lead, you have gold, you have silver, you have carbon, you have all these different elements. Some are solid, some are gas, whatever. This is what Rabbi Chaim here, and I should say the Ben Ish Chai in the name of Rabbi Chaim here, is explaining to us, the periodic chart of elements. That and those are the inanimate objects called the domem level. But listen to this. Omnam yesh betocho koach echad she'irev hata'arovet. There is still another element within it that causes these combinations to occur. Vehem nikraim, and they are called nefesh yesod afar, and it is called the soul of this foundation of this physical element. V'hakalul, and it is made up of all the five forms or powers that we have described. Or in other words, why do the atomic structures, you know what an atomic structure is, again, go back to the periodic chart. What's the difference between one element and the next? Well, it's the numbers of protons and electrons and all the rest of that jazz, right?
Right.
Why? Why does hydrogen have only one electron? Whereas, what is it? Helium, I think, has two. Why does oxygen have eight? Why does iron have 26? We can go on and on through the numbers. Well, something somehow, somewhere is telling those little itsy-bitsy protons and neutrons, you guys get together and form this nucleus, and you electrons, you go orbit them, etc. and so on. You go here, you go there, etc. What is telling these little itsy-bitsy balls of energy and light to do what they're doing? We would call that, in our religious speak, the divine will, the divine presence, the divine knowledge. We would call it the spirit or will of God, or the Shekhinah, whatever. But in our science speak here, remember he said the fifth element. The fifth element corresponding to the Keter. We call it its soul. We believe that everything is alive and everything has a soul. Even rocks, gemstones, everything has the fifth element within it, a level of soul. Now, the level of soul at the domem, and the word domem means silent. The domem level of soul is really what we would call the most dense or the lowest. If we were to look at any inanimate object, the whole definition of inanimate means that it's not alive by modern science definition. But yet from this alternate point of view, we look at everything as having a life. But there's no central nervous system. There's no sense of consciousness or whatever. Now, I can talk to a plant and I can clearly show that there is a reaction. I can have my pet rock, but I've never seen, when I pet my pet rock, I've never seen it, you know, offer me its belly and start to bark like my dog. All right, sorry, my pet rock doesn't do that. Maybe yours does, mine doesn't. All right, I got a dead pet rock. But yet, everything natural is said to have a soul. Now, somebody is asking here, does his mobile phone have a soul? It all depends what you put in your mobile phone. Now, being that a mobile phone or any other technological, man-made, created tool is a combination of things, we do not ascribe from this philosophical point of view to ascribe to such tools as having a soul. All right? So therefore, I would say, does your cell phone have a soul? I would say no. But then again, isn't it interesting that a lot of people, whether it's their cars or something else, they get actually some kind of an attachment to, and somehow, somewhere, people feel that there's something in it. Maybe there is something in it. I can't say that there is, but I don't know. And again, somebody is wisely stating here a question in text. Is this why Moses calls heaven and earth to witness before Israel? And the answer is yes. Because even as Maimonides enumerates, the heavens and the earth itself is considered a living organism. You can go on to my favorite scientific program, Through the Wormhole, and look up the element, where look up at the episode, excuse me, where in which they even asked the question, is the earth considered alive? Is the ocean considered an entity, a living being? And a lot of very interesting discussions in modern science today. Very interesting that they are coming back to a lot of the old knowledge. But let's move on. That, as we've just described, is the inanimate or the domem. Ve'aharkach nifra ha-tzomach. Later was created what's called the tzomach, the vegetative level. And this he refers to as being the trees and the bushes. And its physical form, we said, is of physical matter. And it has within it something called the nefesh hadomem. It has within it this domem level of soul, like the inanimate object has. But it has an additional level called the nefesh hatzomach, the vegetable soul, which again itself is made up of the five powers. Now, what is the vegetable soul? Well, you go into Greek philosophy and stuff, and they'll describe all of this about. But obviously, vegetation is a higher level of existence than just mere inanimate objects. We know plant life is alive. There have been experiments in labs, I've seen them, you go look these things up online, wherein which plants can respond to emotion, they respond to music, and you have all kinds of people who want to discuss, well, it's not that they respond, it's not that they have consciousness, and then they try to explain it in every which way, but bottom line is the scientific results are there to be seen. The way this is understood within the context of our Kabbalistic / Greek philosophy is that there is a level of soul in the vegetative. Now remember, corresponding to our worlds, the Asiatic level of Malchut is the inanimate. The Yetziratic level corresponds to the six Sefirot, Hagat Nahi, Hesed Gvor Tiferet, Netzach Hod Yesod. And they are the realm and domain of the midot, or the emotions. So the fact that plant life would show emotions, if we can say that, would be in, again, complete understanding of our present system as we understand it here. But now let's move on. After which was created yet the level of the animal. And these, of course, are animals and birds. And again, they have a body and a soul from both the domem level and the tzomach level. And added to that, they have the animal level. And this is called the nefesh behemit, the animal soul, which gives them both movement and feeling. Now, every animal has an animal soul. Not only can they move, not only can they feel, and remember, this is the level corresponding to beria, which is the realm of thought or mind. Now, I always encourage people to have pets in their lives. I will encourage people to have cats and dogs if and when you can, simply because they are very intelligent creatures. And I believe that it is part and parcel of our spiritual growth and elevation, that literally by living with another life form with whom we cannot communicate verbally, teaches us and requires of us ways and methods of learning communication to become more learned, empathic, or whatever. That's why I always encourage people to have some kind of a pet in that respect, because it enlightens us. That's the level of the animal. And then we have the level called the speaking human. And the speaking human has all of the powers that we just spoke about, and it has also the level of soul which can speak. And we say that this corresponds to the level of fire. Okay? The human is uniquely different from every other species on the planet. Every other species on the planet can be intelligent, have emotions. We all know that. I personally have never communicated with a primate. However, I've seen enough of these gorillas on television and YouTube, where in which I think, I forget which was the gorilla who they've actually taught sign language to, like they like teach the people who have hearing impairment. And the gorilla is able to make sign language and hold full communication. So don't tell me the animal's not smart. Of course it is. She is. I have heard stories of the intelligence of dolphins, orcas, whales, and the like. What can I say? I mean, you know, I would love to have the ability to communicate with them. But let's say that me and my buddy Flipper the dolphin were to go to the Louvre in Paris and look at the Mona Lisa. I truly would love to see the type of discussion we would have from our different perspectives of art. Think about it. If I were to take Orca or Coco the gorilla and read to her poetry, Shakespeare, or to discuss with them philosophy, would they be at the level of consciousness to contemplate or appreciate these things? That's another story. What would Flipper think of Da Vinci, Rembrandt, Michelangelo, art? That is something uniquely human. To the best of my knowledge, and I confess, I could be wrong, because in all due respect, I've never taken my friend Flipper to the Louvre to discuss with Flipper Rembrandt versus Da Vinci. It would be a great conversation. Maybe someday that will be possible. I'd love to have that day. But what can I say? Moving on. Ach da, now no. Kivadai. Shekol bechinot meguf tzorot shebaadam. All the different levels in the body and the forms of man. You yotir zachim are, here's that word, zach, more refined than the level of the animal. And the animal is more refined than the level of the vegetative, and the vegetative more than the domem. The word refined, maybe we would refer to that as higher consciousness, higher abilities, greater depth, whatever and however we want to describe it. And this will help us understand what we described above. Each and every element and aspect and level has within it subdivisions which include all the others. So even at the inanimate level, there is all five. And there's subtle little differences. The vegetable level, all five. Subtle little differences. And this helps us understand things. Now, in regards to describing these differences in the inanimate or in the vegetable, maybe in the animal, let's describe it maybe within the human. There are human souls which are more inanimate in their orientation, more vegetative in their orientation, more animal-like in their orientation, more speaking-like in their orientation. Notice I said in their orientation, because what we have here, believe it or not, forget about understanding this as souls, forget about understanding this as spirituality or closeness to or distance from God or good or bad or anything. Forget it. Understand this in its proper modern context. What we are talking about here is the foundation of what we can call personality theory. You have different types of human beings. Some people are much more physically inclined to others. Some are more emotionally inclined than others. Some are more intellectually inclined than others. Some are more abstractly inclined than others. And that's just the way it is. I know plenty of people who are good, moral, decent people, what I would call the regular, everyday, meat and potato type guy. Wakes up in the morning, busts his butt to have a good, hard day's work, comes home, wants to have his meat and potatoes on his table, the wife and the kids in that clean house. Maybe he'll go home and he'll go to church afterwards, and he comes home, watches TV, and that's his life. Don't talk to him about philosophy. Don't take him to the museum or whatever. Not interested. Got it. Okay. There are other people who are very emotional. Everything is all about feelings. Okay. There are those people who are very intellectual. Everything is about thought and thinking. Okay. And then there are those who are very abstract, artistic, ethereal, spiritual. Good. That is your Dots Ham of human personality in application. Which one's higher and lower? Which one's better or worse? Don't even think like that. They are all unique and different and obviously part and parcel of the collective whole. All right? This is what it says here again. Shekulan besedeze, everyone is within the other. And then he speaks now of the fifth element. And the Ben Ish Chai and Rabbi Chaim Vital are going to refer to the fifth element, obviously within the context of its Judaic application. He refers to here called the Adam HaYisraeli, the Israeli man, not to make any context or connection to modern day Israel. And you'll notice he does not use the word Jew. There are too many racist attitudes out there who want to say the Jew has a higher soul than the non-Jew. We're just closer to God. We're better. Keep your racism to yourself. Because there are big rabbis and big books that do misinterpret these Kabbalistic teachings and apply them in a very racist form. That's not what it's all about. This level called the fifth element, all right? This element called the Adam Yisraeli is an element which I will tell you, and I already have in many other places. It includes with it, as we've said, all the different levels of soul, the Domem, the Tzomach, the Chayim, the Be'er. And then a fifth element above it. Let's call that fifth element a spiritual element, an ethereal element, an element which looks to go beyond, to connect to something higher, to act as a conduit, a bridge between what we'll call the next higher level and us. How many people do you know who are like that? Very, very few and far between. But as life has shown us, people of this personality exist in every culture, in every religion, male and female, or whatever lies in between, or on the parameters, or on the outliers, or wherever, or whatever. And this is a different type of person who lives for others, who wants to shine the light and share the light. In other words, fulfill the purpose for what God chose Israel to be, the conduit, to be the hand. Never, ever, ever to be misinterpreted as being better. And that, unfortunately, is an issue of Jewish racism, and yes, it does exist. And it is equal to, and no different than, Christian racism, Islamic racism, or any other racism from any other group. It all exists equally everywhere, and it has to be equally condemned everywhere. So moving right along. All right. Od ki gam hu nichalal v'nikshar b'kol ha'olamot b'kol prateim l'may l'mata l'mala. And again, like I just described, it's this fifth element of soul, this fifth element in our humanity, which tries to connect above and below. But now let's move on. Haketzad. Let's explain further. Techila nichneset bo nefesh. First, enters what's called the level of soul from the realm of heaven called Vilon. Now, we discussed the realms of heaven. The realm of soul is, if you can call, the life force energy that permeates and exists in the universe. Umisham ulmala, and has very higher and level, subtler levels within it, until you get to the highest level of all the levels of what are called the heavens in this Asiatic realm. And the energy or soul or consciousness or whatever that comes from the highest level in the physical universe, this is called the Nefesh of Asiya. Now remember, up until now we were talking only of the Malchut of Asiya. We are now referring to the highest level of Asiya. Because like you have the life force energy, which emanates from the physical world around us, call it the force or whatever, yeah, that will animate you and give you physical life, but it won't necessarily give you consciousness, morality, or enlightenment. But such consciousness, enlightenment, and morality does exist within nature. And those who contemplate nature, who delve into nature deeper, can extract from nature a much higher, subtler nuance of understanding of nature. We call this the Nefesh HaSichlit, the thinking soul. Again, that's a Greek concept. And he says this is the holiness within man. Now let's discuss this. Because holiness is usually thought to be only an application to Jews who observe the ritual commandments. Ain't so. He doesn't say that here, and neither should we ever draw such a limited conclusion. Well, what then is holiness? Let's define holiness and make sure that we understand the difference between holiness and righteousness. Righteousness is correct and good behavior. If you do good, you are righteous. But being righteous does not make one holy. Being religious does not make one holy. Holy is actually what we can best describe as a proper calibration between heaven and earth, wherein which someone is in a state of proper alignment and balance with the natural forces. This is what Kiddusha, or holiness, was all about by biblical definition. Observe the Sabbath to keep it holy. Balancing, harmonizing things. The whole concept of holiness in the temple was to maintain a semblance of equilibrium and calibration between parallel dimensions so the actual divine presence could be actively functioning within the temple and all this other kinds of stuff. It requires a certain purification of our physical bodies, and that's why the laws of kosher, what we eat, are all referred to in the realms of holiness. It also has to do with maintaining a balance of sexual energy. So sexuality is also in the context and defines of holiness. Now, let's apply it. Is a Jew who keeps kosher and observes certain elements of sexuality holy thereby? The answer is yes, that individual can very well be. But don't limit it there. Because you have many people of many spiritual walks of life around the world who also do not eat what we would call unkosher food. Maybe they're vegetarian and the like. And who do not partake in certain types of sexual behaviors and practices. Whether they know it or not, by their behaviors, they are becoming holy, regardless of their theological, philosophical, or religious beliefs. Look at a guy like a Shaolin monk, All right? These are people who are really in touch with powers in nature. They're not talking to demons. They're not in touch with the spooks or anything. They're in touch with nature. And by being able to be in harmony and balance with nature, they make movements in their bodies. We call it Qigong, martial arts and the like. And they're able to do tremendous things. And that's why out of the martial arts tradition also came a tremendous amount of the wisdom and knowledge of medicine, the whole acupuncture, acupressure systems, all related to this. This is all kadosh, holy. And it should never be looked at within the racist limitations of an ethnic application. Continuing. Omnam zo atzma nehalekat lachamisha kochot. Again, this level itself is, we said, subdivided into five different powers. The powers of soul, which again we call the yechida nechaya, which again are elements or expressions of this. Some people have higher levels, some people have lower levels. Personalities. V'gam nechalekat b'shne halukot. We can also divide this into two different other divisions, ba'ofan acher, in a different way. Ki kol ha-bechinot, all these different elements that we're talking about, shelokech me'arba yesodot, which takes from the four foundations, again, meaning it's taking from the four influences, these four, in quote, levels of soul. We call this nikra nefesh ha-yesodit. This is the foundational soul. Nechaleket lekochot haniskarim, which are again subdivided into these powers of domem, inanimate, tzomach, vegetative, chai, animal, midaber, and again speaking. All right, and this nefesh call that comes from the realm of vilon, we say that's the keter level, and it's above all. And again, we call that the nefesh sichlit, the thinking soul. So not only do people who are intellectuals think, not only are people who are spiritual think, this nefesh sichlit is said to be the conduit. There is also something in Greek philosophy called the active intelligence, the sechel hapoal. Many will say that that refers to the Metatron level. Many will refer to this nefesh sichlit as being the connection. Because when one gets to a deep enough level of contemplation, meditation, then the constructs of both intuition of what we call Sefirat Chochmah and intellect, the Sefirat Bina, merge in harmony. And this enables one to have clarity of thought. And that is what from our Kabbalah, Torah point of view, we call enlightenment. And you'll find the concept of enlightenment as discussed in other traditions. It's pretty much the same thing. So this is a pursuit that we all desire to acquire in this life. This is the whole purpose of learning. We're not learning to feel good. We are learning to acquire true dot knowledge. Not to be taught what to think, but how to think. Not to be taught what to see, but how to see. Moving right along. Uma shemisha'ar harakiin, and the influences, the energies, or the souls which come from all these other levels of heaven, these are also divided into the levels of what we call the ruach, the neshama, the chaya, the yichida. These are all the subdivisional influences of the greater level called the nefesh soul. Again, the nefesh soul is just where we're at in this present level of life. The kulam yachad, all of these together, are called the single nefesh of the realm of asiyah, which has within it all elements and aspects of the different worlds. Baharkach, after one has able to, if you will, grasp, or better yet to, it says actually to, fulfill. We discussed this in our classes in the Shar HaGilgulim of the Ari, that levels of soul need to be fulfilled before one can rise to a higher level. What exactly does that mean? Well, really what it means is the development of deeper levels of consciousness, understanding, and wisdom. We come to understand nature. We come to understand the subtle nuances of the world around us. And then when we transcend even that, we go into the realms of what Aristotle would call metaphysics. And we develop even deeper levels of sensitivity and cultivation. How many people in the world today seek such things or accomplish such things? The answer, of course, are very, very few. And that is why in the Kabbalistic tradition, it is taught that most people today only have a nefesh level of soul. Maybe it varies in grades of the five levels of the nefesh, but still, only the nefesh. But in our system, we continue here, after you accomplish the five levels and grades of the nefesh, you go and seek out the ruach level, which comes from the Yetziratic realm, and you have to fulfill all of its five levels, and then you have to go after the level of the five levels of the ruach, then the five levels of the neshama from the Bereatic realm, the five levels of the chaya from the Atzilutic realm, eventually even to the five levels of the yechidah, which come. And these are the levels of the ascension of the consciousness or soul of man. Where are we at? Well, that's an individual choice. How much can one accomplish? It's an individual choice. But we understand, if you will, the construct of the system of what the Ben Ish Chai in the name of Rabbi Chaim Vital is trying to describe to us here. Again, the emphasis here is not on moral, ethical, righteous behavior. That's a given. That's the foundation. That's the stepping stone. But it's not the end all. It's the beginning. And what comes after that is your intellectual, rational, contemplative discovery of truth. Remember how we began this class about having to learn from everywhere and following truth? Oh, this is it. This is how you get up the rungs of the ladder. This is the evolution of human consciousness. You want to talk about bringing Mashiach, like the Baal Shem Tov says, to activate the spark of Mashiach within us? This is how you do it. You can't say, well, I don't understand this, or this doesn't I don't get it. This doesn't interest me. You have to be able to study, to learn, to know, to understand. So what should you be learning now? Plato, Aristotle, maybe Kant, maybe Nietzsche? Well, you can do all the philosophical studies that you want. Try going over high school science. Make sure you understand biology, physics, chemistry, the likes and means and ways of what God has made in the world. And then apply these things to, if you will, Aristotle or Plato or Socrates or Kant or Nietzsche or Spinoza or whoever, wherever, and whatever. Put the things together and see the greater picture. And then your mind will expand. Your consciousness will grow. You'll have that bing moment. Ah, I understand now. I see the wisdom in it. And then you'll become more inclusive. And as you do, you'll recognize the hand of God, the presence of God in everything, and fulfill the words that say, the whole world is full of His glory. And understand finally what it means when we say, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. I'm teaching you now a very important path, which is a long, hard, arduous, yellow brick road to the wizard. How many of us can walk it? That's the challenge. He says, now I've described to you in detail, if you will, the essence of man. All the worlds and levels are within him, whether we're talking about in detail or in general. All the other levels in existence don't have this potential as man do. not in the worlds above, not in the worlds below. Ki kol toledot esi olam mehen, each and every element of every single world has within it only that which each and every world has. V'hari zeh b'inyan ha'olamot me'mata lamala. That's how it is with the worlds from, again, from below to above. Alrighty, I see here we're a little bit close on time. You know what? Let's see if I could do this little bit here in a few minutes we have left. So I'm going to do this briefly. Gamu kolel kol ha'olamot mebifnim b'chutz. Humanity also has all aspect or entrance, if you will, to all the worlds from inside to the outside. For example, in this world of Asiya, we have the physical body, which is made up of matter, like we said, as we know. And within it, we have all the different levels of soul, even from a soul from that level called the Klipot. The soul of the Klipot, on the dark side, psychologically speaking, in Jungian terminology, we can call that the shadow. We all have a dark side to us. How do you address your dark side? You don't kill it. How about you turn on the lights? Think about that. Don't have time to get into it deeper. And within that, we all have an element of what we call this realm of the angels, right? Because the angels were created for this world to fulfill the needs of this world, to grow the vegetation and all the like. Those are the earth spirits and etc. and so on. And then within us, we have the level of the soul of our humanity. V'kol elu, and all of these things, na'asin merkava, el ora nimshach me'orot ein sof. All of these then become the merkava, the chariot, the vessel, the vehicle, the tool, from which emanates forth, or emanates into, the lights of the ten sefirot of, well, in this case, the world of Asiya, asher betocha arba yesodot. And the ten sefirot of the world of Asiya, of course, within the four realms and levels of Asiya, in order to enliven it. V'hem lifnim min hakol. That, of course, the life force is within everything. V'al derech zeh, and this is the way it is within the humanity, within all the realms and spheres of the Asiatic universe, as it is within all the higher realms of the Yetziratic, Biryatic, and Atzilutic universe. Okay, we're going to stop here, and we'll pick this up in our class next. But again, just to help us understand, we have within us all the potentials to accomplish everything. And it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you are. And that's an old midrash from Tana Dvei Eliyahu, where if you'll remember, we quote Eliyahu Rabbah, the ninth chapter. Elijah, the prophet of himself, is quoted to say, "Heaven and earth, the bear witness. Man or woman, man or woman, Jew or Gentile, free man or slave," but psychological context, "everybody can receive a Ruach HaKodesh," or if you will, connect, all in accordance to what we're willing to do. And that choice is always within our hands. All right, on that note, let's conclude then tonight's lesson. Thank you again all for joining me. I am your host, Ariel Bar-Tzedok. Come see me online at koshertorah.com. And again, please remember, we get along with your support. I thank you again all for your support, for being there for us, so that we can continue to be here for you. See you all in the next class. God bless. Good night. Shalom.